I had the great honor of spending the hour or so before Mass began hearing confessions in the back, so I thought I would commence this homily with a little confession of my own. When I was younger, including many years as a Jesuit, I wasn't much of a Pentecost guy. I was always a Christmas guy. I was a big Christmas guy. I still am. The letter to Santa Claus, the milk and cookies left out the night before, the carrot for Rudolph, never the other reindeer, but always for Rudolph. I've always been a big Easter Triduum guy. The Easter Triduum, those 3 days before Easter. Holy Thursday, where we remember the Lord's Supper. Good Friday, where we remember the Lord's death. And then the great Easter Vigil, where we remember the Lord's triumphant resurrection. As an altar server when I was a child, and even now as a priest, those are, liturgically speaking, my favorite days of the year. But then there was Pentecost. I'll have to say, as a child, I always felt like Pentecost was sort of a consolation prize feast for the Holy Spirit, which always appeared to me to be the obvious bronze medal winner of the Trinity. And even as I got older and began to understand that, no, in fact, this is quite a significant feast, I would have struggled to articulate why exactly that was the case. Perhaps you feel the same way. Perhaps you ask yourself, what's the big deal about Pentecost? Well, I'll be clearing all of that up in the next few minutes. Indeed, I will be able to, I hope, make some stab at it, thanks to the preface for today's Eucharistic prayer, the prayer that I'll say just before we all sing the Holy, Holy, Holy together. At one point, that prayer says this, that Pentecost completes or brings to fulfillment the Paschal mystery. All clear now, right? I think that today's gospel can help us understand what that means. We pick up the scene from the gospel reading that I just proclaimed in the midst of one of the moments of the Paschal mystery, which is just a handy term to describe the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The line is this: when Jesus had greeted them, he showed them his hands and his side. By looking at the nail marks and the scar from the lance, Jesus' friends knew that he had died, and they knew, moreover, that he didn't die by going to sleep one night and simply not waking up again the next morning. He suffered tremendously, but he was also alive in their midst. The Paschal mystery: passion, death, and resurrection. But the story doesn't stop there. And that's because there alone, the Paschal mystery isn't brought to its fulfillment. The story continues. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The resurrection, in other words, has implications. It wasn't a matter of Jesus' friends getting together in sadness, rejoicing that he had been raised from the dead, and then going off to have a good laugh and open up their Easter baskets. The resurrection meant something. It meant that Jesus was sending his friends, just as Jesus was sent by his Father. He was sending his friends to be witnesses to the resurrection, to proclaim that good news of salvation. As the reading continues, we see what that really means specifically. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. this is not just a charge for priests for the sort of thing that I was doing when I was hearing confessions in the back before Mass. It's a charge for all of us to be agents of reconciliation, to bring peace where there is strife, to bring forgiveness where perhaps it's not merited, but it's so desperately desired, and to hold on to relationships, even if it seems like they are lost. This is not easy to do, and I think that's something Jesus understood. And so we have the final piece of today's reading. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the crux of the matter. This is the Pentecost moment that Jesus sends his friends then and now to be proclaimers of the gospel, witnesses of the resurrection, to be women and men and children who are agents of reconciliation. But to do that, he assures us his presence. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. The presence of Christ with us, with the church. His passion and his death show us that he is human. His resurrection shows us that death is an end neither for him nor for us. And Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, the bringing of completion to the Paschal mystery, gives birth to the church. We are Pentecost people, because without the Spirit, it's just you and you and you and you and you and you and me. But with the Spirit, there is a we. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us, the church, once again, the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be made new, and you shall renew the face of the earth.